2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Look, a few minutes ago, it seemed as though Representative Chris Stewart was ghosting Dave and I. He was actually pulled away, I guess maybe into a meeting or something, and just couldn't make the phone call to us regarding his meeting with Interior Secretary Deb Haaland over Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments, David.
Yeah, it's been quite the yo-yo. It started back in 1996 with President Clinton, and in 2016, mm-hmm. President Obama designated Bears Ears as a national monument, 1.35 million acres. And then President Trump scales it back like 85%. It has been pretty wild. Now President Biden will certainly expand it, I'm sure of that, but by how much?
Representative Chris Stewart, live on the line with us. Thanks for not ghosting us for the entire show, Representative.
Oh, my gosh. You know that I would never, ever, ever ghost you guys. It's an honor to be with you. Hey, you're right. It's a yo-yo. And we can do better than this. And this is the argument we're trying to make the administration is, you know, if you increase the boundaries, if you go back and if you disregard, the intention and the will of people of Utah and the delegation and a Republican president comes in and then he cuts it and we go back and forth and back and forth. And we're saying, help us build a legacy. Help us do something bipartisan, by the way. The president has said he wants to work in a bipartisan fashion. He hasn't been able to do that much so far. Here's a chance where he could. And work with members of Congress and members of the Senate to do something that's permanent and where we think there's an area here where we could have a win-win for everyone.
Why doesn't Congress set the boundaries then? Why doesn't Congress deal with the acreage and not leave it to executive order, Representative?
Yeah, I mean, we've tried to do that. I had legislation among others, by the way, it wasn't just myself, who would have done that. And it was part of a package that had a lot of public lands issues with it. And the short answer, and it's an obnoxious answer, but it's true, and that it's really hard to get things through Congress, and it takes time. I mean, look at my suicide prevention bill. Doesn't cost any money, entirely bipartisan, and had a vast majority of Republicans and Democrats supported it. It took 3 years. So, I mean, the short answer is it's hard to get legislation like this through Congress, and it takes time. Which is why, once again, we're going to the president saying, work with us and let us do this, what we've been trying to do for a couple of years. Let's do this legislatively.
Why do we care so much about this area? Because there's obviously some gorgeous, spectacular places like Bears Ears specifically, but there's also a lot of area in Utah that is not very spectacular. That's a nice way to say it, right?
Well, and that's true. I mean, some areas in Utah are worthy of national parks. Some of them are worthy of monuments. And some of them is sagebrush that, it's probably best used to let cows out there and whatever range possibilities there are. But, I mean, look, there's a couple things to recognize here. Number one is the monument. I support the monument, for heaven's sakes. I always have, just as I support other uses of public lands. It's just too big. And it's too restrictive. And interestingly and ironically, you go down there and you talk to the ranchers, and this is where Secretary of Interior, she heard from them. And I think she listened to them. I really do. I was impressed with her humility and her sincerity. I really was. I didn't expect that she would have the approach that she took. But these ranchers stand up and make a good point, and that is when you make it a monument, we can't manage the land. You can't do improvements to it. You can't bring water to it. You can't do any of the things that would actually make that land more protected and more sustainable. I mean, there's an argument there. And by the way, when you pull it out of the monument, it's still public lands, it's still owned by the BLM. It's not like we're selling it, for heaven's sakes. It's just how differently it's managed. And so Bears Ears has got some really unique things there. We should protect those. But it's probably not 1.3 million acres. It's just too big. The Antiquities Act never, ever anticipated that you'd be taking millions of acres. And the language is really clear. It says the possible amount of land necessary to protect the antiquity. And this is where we're having the conversation. It's not let's eliminate Bears Ears. It's not let's eliminate the Grand Escalante. Let's just have good management plans and let's have the appropriate size monument.
But won't companies go in if this area opens up, even if it goes back to the BLM, which it would? Wouldn't they go in and try to mine and, I don't know, extract oil or frack? I'm throwing it out there because I think that's a concern.
Well, when the Grand Escalante was originally created back in the 90s, that was a concern. And there was, at that time, there was actual, you know, some very valuable coal deposits down there. But the reality is that I don't know anyone no commercial enterprise who has any interest in this area. I mean, look, the market has just moved beyond coal, and I don't ever see that coming back. So I think that was a legitimate concern 30 years ago. It really isn't now. But by the way, and again, I think this is the key to this, whether the market's there or not, it's still public lands, and they're still regulated, and they still have to go through all of the process. If there were minerals or oil there, they still have to go through all the processes, which is so rigorous, to protect the land, while in some, you know, very narrow cases, still being able to take advantage of some of the resources there. And that never goes away. Those protections never go away.
This does feel a little Goldilocks-ish to me. You know, the first one was too big, and then President Trump makes it too small. What's a good compromise? Do we have a ballpark? Is it 200,000 acres? Is it 500,000? What would be a win for Utah?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm going to start kind of my position is that the size they are now is a good size. And they're not small. They're 700,000 or 800,000 acres. I mean, that's an enormous place still. It's not 20 or 30,000 acres. It's 700,000 or 800,000. So, you know, we could start there and see where they end up. But more importantly, or at least as importantly, let's talk about how those lands are managed. Can we preserve them? Can we do improvements to them? I mean, the way they are right now, there's no way to allocate any money for, say, a visitor center because the president created by executive action. If we did it by legislative authority, we could include some appropriations that would make some improvements to these areas as well.
Representative Chris Stewart, I've got 10 seconds. When will you have a decision? Did she indicate, did this Interior Secretary indicate to you?
Well, they said they would last week, actually, but they extended it for another 60 days. I think probably at the end of the period is when they'll let us know.
Say that again?
Probably several months away.
I think
right
you
now.
Cut out.
Yeah, it's probably several months away still.
Okay, Representative Chris Stewart, thank you so much for calling the show. Give us an update on your meeting with Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland. Straight ahead, President Biden taking another action, this one to pack the court, as he brings in a new commission to the Senate. Why the push to expand the court? We're going to break it down with Boyd Matheson next.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.